serving overseas. They were separated from family, friends, and home, often in the most difficult circumstances imaginable. More than 400,000 of our countrymen lost their lives in that conflict. But all of them were homesick, lonely for some little piece of home. And so in 1943, something wonderful happened. Bing Crosby recorded what would become one of the most beloved of American songs, "I'll Be Home for Christmas." It was written from the point of view of a soldier a long way from home, promising to be home for Christmas. And yet the song closes with this haunting, heartbreaking line, "I'll be home for Christmas, if only in my dreams." Well, of course, the war ended and the troops came home, and they got to spend the following Christmas holidays with their families. And yet, through the years, this song has become one of the most popular, most recorded, and most requested songs in music history. Why? Why? Well, this song speaks to every person who's had to spend any extended time away from family, friends, and loved ones. It speaks to our hearts. It's about hope and hopelessness. It's about separation and loneliness. It's about longing and acceptance, longing for what they're missing and acceptance of the situation the way it really was. No one likes being separated from loved ones and home, cut off with no way to get back. It's a horrible thing. As we talked about a couple of weeks ago, Jesus was separated from his family. They left, went to Jerusalem to worship, and they left Jerusalem, and after 3 days, they found Jesus teaching in the temple. And in Luke chapter 2, verse 48, Mary asked Jesus this question, "Why have you done this to us?" To us. Parents are scared to death when a child goes missing. Ask Christina about being in JCPenney's inside of a circular clothing rack when she was a little bitty girl, how she felt about going missing, because she felt something about that after it was over, I can tell you. Parents' worst fear is a child lost. And so Mary says, "Your father and I sought you sorrowing, the worst fear. Joseph was separated from his family after being sold into slavery. Don't you suppose he longed to be with his father and even with his stinking brothers? Don't you figure he wanted to be home? For 8 years, David was on the run from King Saul, running for his life. Don't you think he missed home? At least 11 of the Psalms of David are written during this anguish-filled period of his life. And when you read those 11 Psalms, you can't help but read the anguish, the loneliness that's in David's heart. Paul was isolated and separated from his friends and fellow workers while he languished in prison. And then near the end of his life in 2 Timothy 4 verse 6, he knows that his death is imminent. And so he makes this plea in verse 9, verse 11, verse 13, and verse 21. He says, "Come to me, bring John Mark, and come before winter." Come before winter. Our text today is about being separated. It's about being lost. In Luke 15, we have three stories about being lost. A lost sheep, a lost coin, a lost son. In each case, there is this real sense of loss too. The shepherd seeks the sheep. The woman seeks the coin. And yet the father waits at home for the lost son to return. The shepherd lost his own sheep. He lost it. The woman lost her coin. This was part of her wedding jewelry, her dowry. And it was a very important piece of... It wasn't just like losing a quarter, okay? This was a big deal. And so she sought diligently for it. But she lost it herself. But the father did nothing to lose his son. The boy got lost on his own. And the father missed him. The father longed for him to be back home, but he waited for the boy. There's a message here, folks, a very important message. Something precious has been lost. There's a ring missing. Not just any ring, great-grandmother's wedding ring. What are you going to do to find it? Oh, man, you'll tear the house upside down. You'll open all the drain pipes just to see if maybe one of the grandchildren dropped it down the sink. I mean, you'll check everywhere trying to find something as precious as that. Oh, I forgot my password. You can't get anywhere without a password these days. You forget a password, what are you going to do? You know, you talk about feeling lost. I know I parked that car somewhere. Where did I leave it? It's in the parking lot somewhere, but, you know, Christmas shoppers, it's just full. Where did I park that thing? A pet is missing. So you make posters and you go around town and you look for that pet. You search the streets. A child is not where they're supposed to be. Did they run away? Have they been kidnapped? Are they hurt somewhere? And when we lose something, panic is a normal reaction, isn't it? When we lose something, I mean, we panic. What about when we're lost? When we're the ones who are lost? Do we panic? Do we panic? Daniel Boone one time said, "I have never been lost. I will admit to being confused for a few weeks." But here's a lost son who didn't know that he was lost. Are you hearing me? He didn't realize he was lost, did he? Years ago, right after Faye and I got married, it was our first Christmas together, and we were still living at Hackleburg, still living with her parents. We had a little house next door to theirs, but you know, we went in and ate meals with them and all that. And so anyway, we're going out to get a Christmas tree. Now, I'd been walking through the hills, walking through the woods behind her dad's house for I don't know how many times I'd been out there. I'd gone out there hunting and just gone, just trail blazing, just enjoyed walking in the woods, still do to this day. And I spotted a perfect Christmas tree just on a hillside, way out in the woods. And so Faye and I were going to go out there and get it. So one afternoon, about 3 o'clock, we set out. We're going out over hill and dale, and I said, "Faye, it's a little bit further," and got kind of turned around a little bit. Didn't find that tree. Still growing to this day, I suppose. Okay, almost 40 years later, but we didn't find that tree. I had a flashlight. I was ready in case it did get dark. Batteries died on us after about 10 minutes, and we're out in the woods. We're deep in the woods. And I'm not sure which way to go because it's got dark on me. And I started out setting back toward the house and you know, the way I figure. But we go in an area I'd never been before. And Faye got tangled up in some big, tall briars. And she was saying, "Robert, I can't get out. I can't get out. Help me. I can't get out." And I just got mad. If y'all know, y'all of you have known me a long time, I'm slow to anger. But when I do get angry, I'm like a bull in a china shop. And I got in those briars trying to get her out, and I'm just stuck, and it just made me so mad. And I'm thinking, "These crazy briars are not stopping me." And so I just tore through them, and I mean, I ripped my clothes and my skin to shreds. I got her out of that briar patch, and we're heading on. And Faye said, "Where are we going?" I said, "We're going to follow the moon." And we could see it some through the thick woods, but I didn't know where I was going. We were hopelessly lost. And then in the distance, I heard, "What? What?" Her mom had sense enough to go out and blow the car horn. "What? Follow the sound of that horn. We'll make it home. We'll make it home." Get out and get lost. I didn't know I was lost at first. I mean, I'm going to find that Christmas tree, but I was lost as a goose. I was just lost. I didn't know where I was. But when I realized I was lost, then there was panic that set in. See, God seeks to save us. That's His desire. He wants to save us. But first, we've got to recognize that we need to be saved. First, we've got to come to the realization that we are lost. And salvation is God's gift to lost man. It is that precious, most precious gift of all. I appreciate Eckerd's prayer that every day is Christmas because of God's amazing gift. that He gave us His Son as our the sacrifice for our sin. He gave us His Son to save us from damnation. But we will only accept that gift when we realize just what it is. Now, don't we love to get together with family and friends for the holidays? All I want for Christmas is not my two front teeth. It's to be with those I love. I've decided that Christmas is not about presents. It's about presence. Being with those that you care about. That's what Christmas is all about. Separation is a terrible thing. There's a sense of loss and loneliness. It's very depressing. The holidays, this time of year, holds the dishonor and distinction of having the highest suicide rate of any time of the year. Why do you suppose that is? Isn't it because of all the hopelessness, the helplessness, the loneliness, the loss that people feel because of the separation? Separation anxiety is a real deal. And people feel that at this time of year. Separation had to have gotten to this lost son. He realized his condition. You know, I mean, you know, you got to be pretty desperate if you're a Jewish boy to be feeding hogs. Hogs were the ultimate of unclean animals. And here's a Jewish boy, a rich kid, never fed a pig in his life. Look how low he's gone to the point that he's willing to feed pigs in order to try to find something to eat, somebody to care for him. And he's feeding pigs and he comes to his senses. It had to get to him. I'm lost. I need to go home. I want to go home. In my father's house, there's plenty of food. Even his lowest servant has plenty to eat, many and moreover, more left over. And here I am suffering and starving to death. Who did it to you, boy? I did it to myself. I'm lost. I've separated myself from my family. I'm the one who did this. And I'm the one that needs to fix it. I need to go home. It had to be getting to him. It had to be getting to Paul in prison. He wanted to be with those he loved. And he cried out, you know, bring John Mark. He's profitable to me and to the gospel. Bring the parchments. Bring me a cloak. He's cold. And come before winter, because the axeman is sharpening his axe right now. And it won't be long till Paul is gone. Come before winter. It had to be getting to him. I'm sure it tormented Joseph in Egypt, longing to be home, longing to be back with his family, longing for those days when he could wear his coat of many colors and kind of egg on his brothers a little bit. He longed to be home. He had to. And then, folks, when it comes to this life, death is the ultimate separation, isn't it? And death claims some of our loved ones, and we're separated from them. But folks, that separation only lasts for a time. We need to face that. We need to realize that. That separation is only for a time, because the trumpet's going to sound and the dead will be raised. And God's people are going to enjoy a glad reunion with those that we have said goodbye to when their time to leave this world came. There will be such a glad reunion with those who've gone before, who are in the Lord. But folks, we've got to face the fact that reunion is only possible because of God's wonderful gift. It's only possible for this separation to be taken away because of what God did for us. You see, there's something much worse than not coming home for Christmas. And that's not coming home. You hear me? That's not coming home. Those mamas and daddies who never saw their children again, their sons, their daughters who went off to war, they didn't come home. And that was a terrible tragedy. But there's something even worse than that. And that's not coming home to God. That's the worst tragedy of all. To be separated from family and loved ones who are going to be able to rejoice and enjoy heaven while I languish in the agonies and the terrors of hell. No, to be separated from God, it's much, much, much worse than not coming home for Christmas, failing to make it home, failing to make it to heaven. You see, without God's wonderful gift, there is only separation. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 makes it very clear that our sins and our iniquities have separated us from God, that He will not hear our prayers. He will not reach out His hand to save us. He's powerful enough to save. His ears are strong enough. He can hear what we say, but He's not going to listen, and He's not going to save us because of our sins and our iniquities. And yet, because of what Jesus did on Calvary's cross, because He gave His life for us, because God sent His precious Son and gave us the most beautiful Christmas gift that you could ever receive, because God did this, He offers us salvation. He offers us a way to come home. And that's what God is saying, folks. God is saying, come home. Not just for Christmas, but forever. Come home. So the question I asked this morning, are you lost? You got to face that. You got to see that. Are you lost? What are you doing with your life right now? What's going on in your life? Are you serving the Lord with gladness? Is there joy in your heart? Is there a peace that passes understanding that keeps your heart and mind through our Lord Jesus Christ? Is that going on with you right now? Or is there an emptiness and a loneliness? Is there a longing in your heart for something more? Something that's missing? Is there a separation that's happened? Are you lost? Are you lost? Jesus says, come home. The church, the Spirit, and the bride say, come home. God says, come home. Don't be lost. Don't miss this. You need to come home. If there's a way we can help you this morning, we encourage you, come home if you need to, while together we stand and sing.